dawn of time, humankind was ordained by God to be the benevolent and compassionate rulers over the earth and its inhabitants. His has provided us in abundance with every fruit-yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit-yielding seed, that shall be our food. To guide us in our role as His loving children and stewards of our living planet, God has sent many enlightened masters, sages and prophets down to earth through the ages to remind us of our noble heritage. During their time on earth, these enlightened beings, Lord Krishna, Prophet Muhammad, Jesus Christ, Shakyamuni Buddha, Lao Tzu, Guru Nanak, Yogananda, and many more, shared with us the best, most noble way to live. With their great love and compassion, they have clearly felt and understood that animals are God's precious creatures to be loved and protected. Thus, they have each clearly instructed their followers that the vegetarian diet, one that is animal-free, is the only one that is suitable for humankind, as God has decreed from the beginning of time. In this program, Our Noble Lineage, we will examine the origins of religious groups, spiritual organizations, and communities that exist in the world today. Warm welcome, kind viewers, to Our Noble Lineage. On today's program, we will continue to explore a mystical tradition of spiritual practice known as Hesychasm. It is a form of Eastern monasticism that seeks to be in union with God through continual prayer. This method of spiritual practice is characteristic of the early church fathers of the 4th and 5th centuries. These hesychast practitioners, the holy mothers and fathers, were vegan hermits who lived in the desert in search of inner peace and spiritual insight as they practiced meditation and self-discipline. Last week, we've discovered that the desert fathers played a large role in influencing the ascetic practice and ideals of many hesychast practitioners. We've also learned that a vegetarian diet is prescribed by the earlier church fathers in the Philokalia, a collection of writings by the hesychast monks from the 4th to the 5th century. Monk, neither desire meat nor drink wine, lest your mind coarsen. Be not addictive to meat and wine drinking, lest you make your mind incapable of receiving spiritual gifts, wrote Ephraim of Syria as one of the spiritual directions for hesychast practitioners. We've also learned that the hesychast monks emphasized the absolute importance of remembering God at all times through prayer, while performing manual labor, while eating, and even while talking to others or resting. Evagrius Ponticus, an Egyptian desert father, described prayer as the putting away of thoughts. He stated that true prayer is the proper occupation of the mind. The Jesus prayer was perfect in both stilling and occupying the mind due to the reverence one would feel for Lord Jesus while reciting the prayer, as well as its simplicity. Diadochus of Fotiki, a hesychast monk and student of Ponticus, further explained the importance of the Jesus prayer, saying, "The mind demands of us, when we close all its opening by the thought of God, a work to satisfy its need of activity. It must therefore be given the Lord Jesus as the only occupation corresponding fully to its objective. For no one, as it is written, can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' unless he is guided by the Holy Spirit." 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. For all who meditate without ceasing in the depth of their hearts on this holy and glorious name can also see at last the light of their own minds. The original hesychast practice was not recorded as written text, but, as stated by Vladimir Losky, involves the transmission from master to disciple by word of mouth, by example, and by spiritual direction. Thus, there was some controversy when the 18th century Saint Nicodemus and Saint Makarios proposed that a collection of texts written by Hesychast monks and other ascetic practitioners be compiled and offered openly to the public. Many people objected, pointing out that the intricate instructions and thoughts of such advanced and ascetic practitioners would only serve to confuse most people who did not have the strict disciplines of the Hesychast monks, nor the guidance of a spiritual father or master. Saint Nicodemus agreed on the immense importance of obedience to a spiritual father. However, he was also confident that many people could derive deep benefit from the texts, provided that they read them with all humility and in a spirit of mourning. He also pointed out that the biblical advice of pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, is intended not just for hermits in caves and on mountaintops, but also for married Christians with responsibilities for a family, for farmers, merchants, and lawyers, even for kings and courtiers living in palaces. Thus, a collection of texts dating between the 4th and 15th centuries were compiled into 5 volumes and called the Philokalia, meaning love of beauty, or more specifically, love of God as the source of all things beautiful. And as predicted by Saint Nicodemus, the Philokalic texts have inspired many people, householders and monks alike, to be more sincere in their prayer and worship of the divine. In the Russian classic text, The Way of a Pilgrim, the anonymous author writes, "Often I spend an entire day sitting in the forest, carefully reading the Philokalia, and learning so many wondrous things from it. My heart burned with a desire for union with God through interior prayer, which I strove to attain under the guidance and verification of the Philokalia. Many topics discussed in these books offer guidance on the physical aspects of prayer. However, in spite of the apparent importance of this topic, Vladimir Losky points out that such exterior disciplines have only one object in view, that of assisting concentration, so that the whole of the attention may be focused within and on the words of the Jesus Prayer. The topics covered by this great collection of early texts are very vast. Many of the authors speak of purity of the mind, body, and actions. For example, Saint John Cassian wrote about the purity of soul achieved through the freedom from anger, from dejection, self-esteem, and pride, while Diodocus of Photiki advised about faith, desirelessness, humility, love, and forgiveness. Again, a simple pure diet was one of the key factors in the practice of the Hesychast monks. Elder Haji Georgius the Antonite wrote, "The fathers, being kindled spiritually, naturally did not need much of material food with calories. Their usual food was nuts, dried fruit and honey. They never ate meat, eggs, milk, butter or cheese, nor food cooked with oil, and they were very healthy. Even for Easter, instead of eggs, they boiled potatoes and dyed them red." Additionally, Bishop Ione also taught about the importance of diet for the true practicing Christian, classifying different categories of the human diet. Those who are carnivores, according to Bishop Ione, will never be able to advance in prayer. The vegetarian diet, consisting of only vegetables and boiled or raw legumes, is kept by the most zealous of monks. However, the Hesychast monks and the most ascetic desert dwellers kept the strictest degrees of fasting that include the fruitarians, cereal eaters who eat once a day only black bread, cereals and soaked or sprouted grains of wheat, corn, millet, lentils, beans, peas, etc. Then there are those who eat dry food once a day, which is bread soaked in water with salt or a little vinegar, and finally divine food. Divine food, or manna, is the last and highest degree of monastic fasting, which is attained by very few ascetics after prolonged asceticism, being strengthened by the grace of the Holy Spirit. After difficult temptation and asceticism, and by the grace of God, I have come to be satisfied with the most pure mysteries alone, and no longer feel hunger, or have need of bread and vegetables. The Lord takes care of me. I feel neither the cold of winter, nor the intense heat of the sun, nor hunger, nor thirst, nor any other earthly need. Thus, through their pure diet, disciplined way of life, sincere prayer, and unrelenting quest to know God, the Hesychast monks earned the respect of all those around them. They asked nothing from others, and put into practice much of the advice in the Bible, such as Christ's injunction in the Gospel of Matthew to go into your closet to pray. In 1351, the Hesychast doctrine was established as the doctrine of the Orthodox Church. The writings of the Philokalia still touch the hearts and inspire the practice of monks and householders today. Thank you for your loving presence on today's Our Noble Lineage. And now, please stay tuned for a gift of love, simple and nutritious cooking with Supreme Master Ching Hai, coming up next on Supreme Master Television. Have a wonderful week ahead, filled with heaven's blessings and loving grace.